loneliness, risks, first. St. Andrew? That's what we'll be talking about today. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the physical, the emotional, the psychological, and everything in between. We look at life through the most ancient of all Christian fabrics, namely Armenian Orthodoxy. This is episode number 597 of The Next Step. We invite you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to our 12th year of broadcasting, The Next Step with Father Voskin. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of their faith and spirituality in their lives today. Blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century, Father Voskin brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. Armenodoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
There are a lot of lonely places, aren't there, huh? Everybody wants to be alone. Sometimes you bring it on yourself, don't you? And then you start looking around and you say, wow, what am I doing here? Hopefully we'll answer that question and a lot of others in today's podcast. Hope you're doing okay. I'm kind of disappointed this morning. Disappointed because I don't want to say I told you so, but disappointed that I have to say it. You saw it coming. I told you a few weeks ago, right? Yeah. I told you a few years ago. And here it is. We're watching this circus unfold in American politics about the Armenian genocide. An issue that cannot be up for debate, discussion. We have relinquished it to the hands of politicians who say that, oh, the House of Representatives said, yes, it did happen. Now we're going to debate it in the Senate. Why did we pass it in the House? Well, we're going to punish Turkey. Not because of anything moral, not because we want to stand up for justice, not because we want to have be on the right side of what is truth, but because we want to punish Turkey. And now the president of Turkey has come to America, and so now the Senate is saying, hey, well, wait a minute, the Armenian genocide. And I'll tell you why I'm going to say I told you so, because it's something that I've been throwing out for the last 20, 25 years. This is not up for debate, and we don't have a right to present it this way to our new generation of kids. Here, let me tell you something. When I started off, 50 years ago, going to these Armenian commemoration of the genocide when my grandparents were still alive, you know, there'd be these commemorative activities, especially April 24th, and the front rows of these gatherings would be genocide survivors. There were survivors back then. I remember this. I remember the stories. I personally heard these stories. I personally have recordings of my grandparents telling me the stories. Yeah, I have them. I've read hundreds, if not thousands, of these accounts. Especially, I translated the work of Teotic, which was over 1,200 clergymen and how they were martyred during the Armenian genocide. Not up for debate, pure and simple. But here's what bugs me so much, that recently, the last 10, 15 years, you go to these gatherings, and not only are there less and less genocide survivors, there aren't any left. So, new generation of kids that we want to teach, and we want to share with them what happened, and remind them of the history, well, they don't have the actual survivors. So they have to take our word for it, okay? And certainly they do take our word for it, okay? Yes, why would they question it? 1.5 million. But look what we do. We relinquish it to the politicians. Rather than saying, this is the truth, this is what happened, we go and we say, did it happen? Yes, you are. You're actually saying that. You're saying, hey, will you see my case? Will you tell me that this happened? You're absolutely saying that. And not only that, you're allowing these politicians who change with the wind to have their say-so. Oh, maybe we'll debate it today. What is there to debate? A truth. And there is no other people that would put up with it. Can you imagine getting up today on the world stage and saying, well, maybe the Holocaust didn't happen. Who would accept that? Imagine getting up on the world stage and saying that, you know what, maybe slavery didn't happen. Maybe the African Americans weren't here because against their choice. Of course it happened. But somehow we debate this. And we use it as a tool to punish others rather than say, hey, this is just a matter of history. We get up and say, well, you know what, Erdogan, you're here and we didn't like what you did. So now we're going to punish you by accepting the Armenian genocide. Can you imagine that? Well, you don't need to. It's happening. It's happening right now. And this is what hurts me, because I deal with young people. I deal with new generations. I talk with new generations. And you know what? The entire idea of In His Shoes was created in response to this. Because we're tired of letting other people. We're taking control of it ourselves. We're doing something. And here we go again. Yeah. Yeah. Just this morning, we heard that Lindsey Graham got up and said, well, it shouldn't be in the Senate. We shouldn't approve it because of our relationships. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? And I don't blame anybody but ourselves for allowing them to talk about it. Put a stop to it. This is a reality. I don't need anybody to validate reality. This is a reality. There is no question about it. And this, you don't even need proof for it. Look, I'm sitting here in the Los Angeles area. You're listening to me in Argentina. You're listening to me in Egypt. You're listening to me in Canada. You're listening to me in Australia. You're listening to me in Armenia. Do you wonder why Armenians are all around the world? If nothing else, my podcast is the proof of genocide, right? Why are we all around? Why are we throughout the world? Because we were thrown out of our country. How do you account for 1.5 million Armenians disappearing off of the face of the earth? How do you account for 1.5 million Armenians being displaced out of their homeland and going out into the desert? Some of them escaping, some of them coming here, wherever they are in the world, wherever your here happens to be. Yeah, no. But we're going to allow politicians to look at it. I'm sorry. I need to say it. I told you so. And here we are. Here we are. November 14th, 2019. And in this sorry, sorry state of affairs, letting politicians who today decide what's going to happen and what is right, and tomorrow will change with the wind. And they'll sell you out, and you know it, right? But it goes also to talk about our church, too. And that's what I want to share with you today, because we got so many responses to last week's podcast. And I'm trying to figure out what it was about last week's. In fact, I asked a few people, what is it about the podcast that really talked to you? It was my personal journey that I talked about. I shared with you where I was coming from. I talked about why the church, why in the church, why through the church, why you do this through the church, why I became a priest. And so I thought, wow, do I continue on that? I mean, I was very popular. I don't like talking, like saying, like, hey, look at me. But something, I was asking that question. I asked people. They said, we enjoyed hearing about your personal journey. Then I looked at the calendar in preparation for this week's podcast. And guess what? This Saturday happens to be the feast day of St. Philip and St. Andrew. I said, wow. Comes together very nicely, because St. Andrew happens to be my patron saint. St. Andrew is my patron saint. And so I thought, wow, we could continue today. Let's continue in that same vein. Because I've shared with you through the years that, you know, it's important to have a saint. It's, you know, when you look at life and you look at your faith in life, like how do you call your faith to life, you realize that the central person in our lives is Jesus Christ. When it comes to matters of faith as a Christian, the central character in that narrative is Jesus Christ. And you say, wow, I'm inspired by Christ. I want to be Christ-like, as St. Paul says. And then slowly you start realizing that you fall very short of the mark, what we call sin. And I've shared this as well, as it's like, you know, you can't beat yourself up. You're a person. You're a human. Jesus was God. And so in everything that he did, he's got one advantage over you. He's God. He was able to see beyond. He had that faith that was unwavering. We're filled with doubts. We go through our lives with many questions in our lives. We have difficulties in our lives. We have illness in our lives. We have poverty in our lives. We have people that need help that come and talk to us. And we have moments of doubt. We have moments of frustration. The saints, on the other hand, are not God. And in a very real sense, when you look at a saint, the life of the saint, you might be able to relate better than you might through Christ. And I'm not saying don't look at Christ. You look at Christ, he's our example. But at the end, you can be very hard on yourself by saying, you know what? I cannot achieve what Christ did. I cannot be perfect. And that's true. A saint is not perfect. A saint is a human being like you, going through all the difficulties, having the same doubts, having the same problems, having the same illnesses, but perseveres and is there at the end. And in this sense, when I look at Andrew, for me, he becomes this saint that, well, like I said, he becomes my patron saint. Somebody that I could look at and say that, wow, he gives me an example that I could follow. So let me share with you that, because this happened back in the 1980s in my first parish. It was called the Armenian Church of Santa Clara Valley. And we were getting ready to name the church. And I asked the bishop at that time, I said, can I have a say-so in naming the church? And he said, sure, you know, ultimately it's my decision, but of course you can make a suggestion. The gentleman that came through with the very sizable and handsome donation, and this was in the early years of the Silicon Valley, he was a grocer, him and his brother, two brothers, they were grocers from the 1930s, 1940s in that area in Santa Clara Valley. This is just about 50, 60 miles south of San Francisco, if you want a reference to a big city. Although today the Silicon Valley, San Jose, population-wise, is larger than San Francisco. But San Francisco is more internationally known. Okay, that's why I'm using it as a point of reference. Okay, so 50 miles below, here's this young priest, 1982, I get ordained. Susan and I, we move up there. Our kids are all born in the Santa Clara Valley. And we have our family up there. Early 1980s, there's a church. It is a small little hall. And we realize that we need to make a physical structure there because the community is growing and the needs for that community when you're doing a ministry. Now, I gotta be honest with you. I wasn't a big fan of buildings, new buildings. But later on, I will confess, later on when I saw that that building was a means by which people were being drawn together. It was like the magnet. I realized the importance of the building. But 1983, still having a lot of ideals that you live with. You know, you're coming out of college, you've read Henry David Thoreau, and you're just like living like, oh man, I'm a life of principles. And here it is, 1983. And we're ready to start on this project for a building. A very dear friend of mine, Ace Paul. We sat at a he was a contractor. We sat at a table one day at the church, and he drew it out on a napkin. Yeah, I wonder if that napkin exists somewhere. But he drew it out on a napkin what the church should look like. It was a two-story structure with an Armenian church, traditional Armenian architecture. On the top floor, bottom floor was going to be subterranean, was going to be a large hall. And we had to do that because as Silicon Valley was expanding, as technology was expanding, property was just out of reach. Fortunately, the community had bought this one-acre parcel in Cupertino. Do you know Cupertino? If you have an Apple computer, that's where it's from. It's the headquarters of Apple, Macintosh, of your iPhone, of your, it's the headquarters of your iPod and iPad. Everything Apple, yes. It happens to be the center, the headquarters of Apple computers. So, yeah, I do remember it even before Apple. It was just starting. We remember the campus as a small, small little place. Anyway, let me not digress because we're going to talk about Andrew today. So these two brothers, Andrew and Aram Amirian, they were running a grocery, they wholesaler, and they were right in San Jose, and they approached and they wanted to help out the church. And they made the first sizable and most handsome donation, which allowed us to begin that building project. And you know what? It's hard to find more humble people than these people. And I honestly, I know that's a value statement. I know that's just like a straight out judgment, but incredibly, incredibly humble people. And I thought it would be nice if we can honor that humility and their gesture. Because at a time when, this is very important, I want you to remember this. We're going to talk about this in the second portion. At a time when people were scared, not knowing where to go, they became the first people to say, okay, let's build. And I'm backing it up with my money. That is a very difficult, difficult place to be. It's a very, what I called earlier, lonely place to be. But it's a very courageous place to be as well. You stand up and you say, I believe in it so much, and here's the money, do it. So I thought it would be very appropriate to honor the donation, the gesture of being the first one, and the humility of these people by naming the church after him. And actually, Andrew was his name, the older brother's name, but his name was actually Anthronik. And I thought, wow, that's a cool name. How about Holy Anthronik Armenian Church? I know what you can say. Wait a minute. What do you mean, Holy Anthronik? Anthronik wasn't a saint. Anthronik was a hero. He was a general. He was around in the 20th century, right? Fighting against the Turks. You're gonna name a church after Anthronik? No, I'm not. Actually, you gotta give me a little bit more credit than that, right? But that's why we didn't do it, right? Because most people wouldn't get it. It would be forever. Oh, look, there's an Armenian church. They've named him after a general. And, you know, I guess it's people, right? But no, that's why we didn't name it Anthronik. But you got to give me more credit, right? I wouldn't name it after the general. Anthronik means the firstborn. So think about it. Holy Anthronik, the holy firstborn. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Yes, Anthronik can refer to Jesus Christ. And it's actually very wild too, because as life goes on, you start realizing that, wow, there's more to it than just being the only begotten. But to say the firstborn is saying an awful lot about the entire cosmos as well. But anyway, we didn't name it Holion Thranik. We went for the name Andrew in Armenian Andreas. And he happens to be one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. And so we named it Surp Andreas Hayastanyats Arakelagan Yegeritsi, St. Andrew Armenian Apostolic Church. And we petitioned the primate. He approved it. And so a few years later, at the consecration, it was officially consecrated as St. Andrew Armenian Church. And I love it because it's the only St. Andrew in the entire Armenian Church world. And as such, it's also another lonely place. And that's going to be the second portion of today's show. Because St. Andrew, in Armenian, you may not know, has a nickname. St. Andrew is referred to as the first called disciple. The first called, in Armenian, Nakhagoch. St. Andrew is called the first called disciple of Jesus Christ. Because, in fact, and according to Holy Scripture, he was the first to receive the call from Jesus Christ and the first to accept it. That's what we're going to be looking at during the second portion of today's show. We're going to talk about the loneliness in taking those first steps. We're going to talk about the courage in taking those first steps and what it means to us today. But before going there, we'll take a break and we'll play the song of the day as we always do every week. I love music and I love to share it. And I'm going to share a nice one with you today that goes back a little bit personal reflection as well. This goes back to over 300 years ago, to the time of Johann Sebastian Bach. Sinfonia to Cantata, number 29. And this particular one is going to be played on a completely electronic device. No, I'm not talking about 2019. I'm talking about 1970. Yeah. It's not as old as 300 years. But there was a device, and I had the good fortune of, when I was studying at USC, of taking a class in the Moog synthesizer. Actually, it's spelled M-O-O-G, as in Armenian, the mouse, Moog. And I heard Mr. Moog talk about it. He said in Dutch, M-O-O-G, from many years ago, was called Moog. And he didn't want to use the K-H, the H sound. In Germany, they called it Moog. And the United Kingdom, seeing the double O, he said, they called it Moog. But he preferred to go by the name Moog synthesizer. So we'll honor that, considering it's his name, the Moog synthesizer. And it is a fascinating instrument. It is the precursor to what we have today in GarageBand, as all electronic music. It was actually plug and play. You would have patch cords that would go from one hole into the other to create this synthetic music. Now, this particular album is called Switched on Bach. This was done by Walter Carlos, who later became Wendy Carlos. And if you think about it, you know, firsts in many ways, loneliness in many, many ways. The music that you're going to be hearing, every note that you hear, every sound that you hear will be synthetically produced vis-a-vis this Moog synthesizer. It's fascinating. I mean, it's really a celebration of creativity of the human spirit. And I hope you'll agree with me as you listen to it. Here it is, from over 300 years ago, Johann Sebastian Bach, presented to us by the Moog synthesizer. Enjoy. Thank you. Pretty wild, don't you agree? That is Walter Carlos, later became Wendy Carlos, off of an album he called Switched on Bach. Yeah, this was 1970s, early 1970s. I remember because I was taking a class at USC in the Moog synthesizer, and just very, very influential time because we saw it creeping up into modern music as well. And of course, later on, full blown out as we came up, and especially today with the modern synthesizers. I think probably synthesized music had its heyday, and I'm by no means an expert at this, but just in my recollection, probably in the 1980s, you know, the use of synthesized and synthetic music devices. So anyway, it's a little bit of history, and it connects us to a beautiful past, arguably one of the greatest musicians of all times, Johann Sebastian Bach. I hope you enjoyed it. There'll be a link on today's show notes. Do check it out. St. Andrew, the Nachagoch, the first called disciple of Jesus Christ. He was the first, indeed, the first, and therefore pretty brave, right? It's always difficult to be the first. Very brave, courageous, the first one. According to Holy Scripture, we find that Andrew, this is in John chapter 1, let's see, where is it? Verse 35 and on, okay? So, Andrew is a follower of John the Baptist. Now think about this for a moment. Who is John the Baptist? Well, he's a very, very charismatic figure. He's got people following him. He's got people from Judea coming out and they're being baptized. And they're in the he's in the River Jordan. He's not only charismatic, he's kind of like this wild figure according to Scripture. And he's got a following. It's not easy to leave him. But here's what happens. Listen to the narrative. It says, this is verse 35, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he says, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. So here you go. There's your first following of Jesus, the first ones who follow, the first ones who are called. You know, we referred to the priesthood too as a calling. And this is the call. It's not like, hey, get over here. It's a calling of understanding where you belong, what you have to do, what the purpose of your life is. Yeah, it's called a calling. It's referred to as a calling, but it doesn't mean like, hey, you know, like somebody whistling over and hey, get over here, do this. No, it's understanding that your heart has received a command to follow. And this is what happened to Andrew. Let's read what it says over here, okay? When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed him. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that night with him. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what Jesus, what John said, excuse me, and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of Jonah. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. Yes. Yes, Peter, the same one that goes on and becomes the first bishop of Rome. Yes, that Peter. He follows Jesus. Why? Because his brother has told him, has called him. So Andrew is not only the first called, But he's also the first evangelist, isn't he? He's also the first expander of Christianity. The first one who gets it, hey, there's something bigger here. He's the first one, but being that first, he takes on that risk. He takes on that responsibility to share. Now, you know what? Throughout Scripture, we see with the few places that he is mentioned in Scripture, he's always introducing. He's the one, for instance, that introduces the young boy. Remember during the miracle of feeding the 5,000, there's a boy who has fish and loaves. Peter's the one who introduces that boy to Jesus. So he takes, this is also part of that calling. When I say, like, you use these saints as patron saints, you try to emulate, you see that in them there's unique characteristics. Being the first, what does that mean for us? Being one who expands, being one who introduces Christ to others. These are all part of the character of Saint Andrew. But for now, let's talk about that firstness, that quality of firstness. It's always difficult, as it was for Andrew, to be the first. It means you're pioneering. It means you're in uncharted territory, right? You know, the first person doesn't get to know. It's like going into a dark room, right? You don't know where the steps are. You're led by faith. You don't know what you're gonna see. The people who follow you, they're okay. They just basically follow your steps. I remember several years ago driving through a town called Los Banos, and there is what is known as Tule fog in that area. It's in the California Central Valley. Tule fog. It is so thick that you can't even see the hood ornament on your car. From your place, you cannot see from where you're driving. It is the most scariest of all driving conditions. I've driven through monsoons. I've driven through very, very scary conditions. There's nothing more scary than this Tule fog. Literally, you cannot see ahead of you. And I'll never forget, one night I had to drive that, and we found a truck, one of these huge, huge trucks, that was driving. And what I did is I put my light on his back, on the back of his truck, my headlights beaming on that truck, and I followed right behind him. I mean, let me tell you how dangerous this was. If anything had happened to him, if he had stopped, I would have gone flying into him. But I needed to get through. And I figured, okay, he's in front of me. He's the big guy. He's going to go. And I followed him. The big guy, the tough guy, has to be out front. That's who Andrew was. He took the risk. It's not an easy place. It's uncharted area. You're going to go and you may crash. You may fall, but you're taking that risk. It's no place you want to be. But he happened to be there. Here's a man named Jesus, okay? He's a revolutionary. He's preaching a different idea. Now you're going to go follow him? There's other people who could do it. Maybe we let somebody else do it first. And if they do it, I'll follow. Yeah, that's a good place to be. It's not a bad place to be the second, the third, the 100th. But the first, a lot of risk. And think about something else. Not only the risk, think about that, what I was sharing, that loneliness factor, especially among his peers. Think about it. Who was Peter? He was a fisherman, right? Andrew was a fisherman. This is a fishing village. What do you think of when you think of fishermen? I don't know. We don't need to stereotype, but you figure that these are people who use their muscle. They're using these are huge nets that you've got to bring up. These are rough people, rough men who are looking after the practical necessity of catching fish so that they can make a living and they could support their families. These are tough, tough guys. And Andrew goes in there to this group of fishermen, and what does he say? I think we found the Messiah. Can you imagine? Can you imagine some people probably say, what are you talking about? you go run your after your Messiah. I'm over here. I've got more practical things to do. Very lonely place. They don't get the support that is necessary when you start something new. He was starting something new. Where was his support? He was outcast by his peers and his friends. Nevertheless, he took that risk. People are very fickle, you know. They say, oh yeah, we want the Messiah. But don't you dare be the first one to find the Messiah. I just had this incident happen to me last night. I got a call from some lady who said that I'm so concerned. And I said, what's the problem? She says, "My this is a true story. It's kind of just like fits in here. She says, my son's been going to church and serves at the altar. I said, well, that's beautiful. She says, yeah, but he's 16 years old and now he's praying. And he's praying an awful lot. In fact, sometimes he disrupts our family because we want to do something. And he says, I need my time for prayer. And I'm just thinking to myself, wait a minute, lady. And I said this to her. I said, do you know that there's worse things than that that you're complaining about? Be happy that, you know, he's not messed up on drugs. What was that? Do you remember there's that Cheech and Chong? Can you bring that up? Do you have that? There was a Cheech and Chong episode. Talks about, I'm all, you got it? Okay, listen.
Oh, pardon me, sir, you, yeah, come here, fella. Say, listen, fella.
Have you heard the word of God today?
Well, that's all right, fella.
For it is written, open up your heart and the Lord will come unto you.
Sure, partner, sure, I believe you.
He can save your soul, sir.
Yes, excuse me, partner.
You know, before,
pardon me, sir,
I was all messed up on drugs. But since I found the Lord, now I'm all messed up on the Lord.
Yeah, I can see that.
He can help you too.
Yeah, I felt like sharing that with this lady too. It's like, you know, like he could be messed up on drugs, okay? Okay, so he's messed up on the Lord right now. I know it's no consolation, but you get the idea. People are fickle too. Yeah, we want the Messiah. We're waiting for the Messiah. But, oh, you found it. Wait a minute. And he was ridiculed. St. Andrew, by the way, if you see his icon, and we'll try to put, maybe we'll use it for today's cover. If not, we'll get a picture and we'll include it. If you see the icons of St. Andrew, there is an X there. You know why? Because he was crucified on a cross in the X shape. Much like him, a unique cross. Two things that St. Andrew is noted for. He took risks as being the first. And second, he introduced people to Christ. So now you say, okay, you've given us the history lesson. How does this touch our lives today? Taking risks. Today, there are so many opportunities to take risks. But many times we hold back, don't we? Out of fear. We're scared. We are confronted with wide variety of events, opportunities. Sometimes they're simple. You know, think about the standard ones, right? Stock market, investments, trying a new meal at the restaurant, right? So a new menu item at the restaurant, trying to cook a new item, okay? Those are simple risks, right? Okay, the worst that's going to happen, you're going to get indigestion. The worst that's going to happen, you're going to lose a few dollars, right? Those are simple risks that you take. Some of the more complicated risks. Career choices for the young people. What do I do? Changing midlife. Midlife crises. Midlife career changes. Big, big changes. Habits. How about habits and doing away with old habits? Oh, yeah, we think about smoking. We think about some of the ugly habits. But how about the habits, negativity? You know, there's a lot of comfort in being negative because why? You're not lonely. There's a lot of people out there who would like to hear you. There's some jackass right now writing negative things about the Armenian church in a paper, and he puts in, this is courage to him, you know, hiding behind a paper, and he's writing it. Well, no, that word I used intentionally. And I know comparing it to this guy, it's an insult to the animal, but I'm using it intentionally. Yes. Jackass kind of like hides around. He's not a horse, right? Looks like could be in that horse family. But he's not that thoroughbred. He's not that guy who's going to win that race. He's not that guy who's going to get out there and everyone's going to say, he's a jackass. Yeah, you sit around and you complain and you talk. You hee-haw. Is that what they do, jackasses? Are they the hee-haw guys? Well, they're not the moo guys. But anyway, you get the idea. You sit around and you complain instead of getting up and saying, you know what? I've got one life to live. I've got an opportunity here. And you know what? There's risk in taking those opportunities. I remember as a young kid, there was a guy who had a beautiful, beautiful car. He had bought a brand new car. And he used to park that like 3 or 4 blocks away from every place that he'd go. He didn't want anything to happen to this beautiful car. And he would park it several blocks away. You know what he ended up doing? He ended up walking every place in life instead of enjoying that car. And you know what else? Nothing happened to the car. It didn't get beaten up. It didn't get messed up. It was beautiful all the time. What am I saying to you? That, oh yeah, keep a beautiful car. That's what the world is telling you. It's telling you, you know, you want everything really nice. Yeah, just don't make any waves. But a car is meant to be driven. It's meant to get you someplace. It didn't fulfill its function for this guy because he refused to take the risk of parking it close to where he wanted to be, parking it in the... Yeah, you're going to park in a parking lot. You're going to get scratched. You're going to get dented. But you know what? You're going to be living. You're going to be using that vehicle for what it was intended. Same way in your life. You have a purpose for your life. You have an intention. Sometimes people are going to joke about things. They're going to mock you. You have to be brave. Just like I'm sure that some of those fishermen kind of mocked Andrew. What are you doing following this guy Jesus? Don't you know that we have business over here? Okay, he's the guy in the temple. Let him go and talk about God. We need to pull these nets with these fish. He's going to be ridiculed. You're going to be ridiculed. But you need to be able to say at the end of life, remember what we were talking about last week, that at the end we all die. At the end, you need to be able to feel good about the life that you lived. And realizing that, you realize that you have to take some of those risks. So, the road to taking risks. Okay, you got to, first of all, prioritize your life. Prioritize your importance. What are you here for? This is where meditation, this is where prayer comes into your life. This is where your conversation, this is where you listen with your heart and you hear the calling of Christ saying, come, follow me. Many, many ways that he's inviting you to follow him. Listen. Listen and then prioritize. That car is there for a function. It's got 4 wheels. It's got an engine. It's beautiful. You got to sit in it and you got to drive it to where you want to go. That's the function of that car. To leave it in a driveway, to let it sit in the driveway is not its function. Nothing will happen to it. It'll still be beautiful. Provided you clean it every so often, get the dust off of it. It'll be beautiful. One day it'll even have greater value because, you know, it stood the test of time. But that's not what your life is about. You're not a car. You're not inanimate. You have a purpose. You have a function. Find that function. Follow it. Weigh out the consequences. And this is part of reasoning. This is the power of what it means when God talks to you. He gives you this opportunity in life. And you know what? Don't be scared to make the mistakes. That's part of being the human. Let's go back to the first dot that I laid out today as we're connecting the dots toward the end of the show. Look at the first dot. What was that about? That, yes, we are imperfect. We are not God. We are going to fall. We are going to stumble. Do you think Andrew didn't stumble? Of course he did. That's the definition of being a human. He had his doubts, he took some risks, and that was the definition of being a saint. He rose to the occasion. Look, Jesus was an unknown. Andrew became the first. He took that risk, and now the invitation is to you. In all of our lives, we have to take risks no matter what it is. There's some mundane examples I gave. There's some more profound examples that I gave. But in all things, that risk has to be an element that you're not scared of. And that's what Christ gives us. When he says, like, I'm talking to your heart, I'm giving you a calling, you realize that everybody can understand with their brain. But when you open your heart up, there's a very special message that comes to you. It's the message that this is your one life. This is your chance. Take advantage of the opportunities. And time again, throughout Scripture, throughout the many parables that Jesus gives us, he keeps talking about those talents and using those talents. And that's what it's about. Look at the characteristics of the saints and find one. I challenge you. Today I'm talking about Andrew. Find one that talks to you. Look at Saint Eupsime and what she did in her small way. She changed the course of human history just by a simple action of refusing the physical advances of a person. There are so many saints that can serve as models for us. And, you know, that's part of the meditative process of being at one with yourself, with your thoughts, with your God, to find a saint that, you know, can give you those characteristics, can give you that example that you can follow. What I wanted to share with you today is that here in my life, I have a patron saint. It is Saint Andrew. For various reasons, because of the way life worked out and everything, I was endeared to this saint. I wanted to learn about him. I learned, and what I found was fascinating to the point that it has inspired my life. It has taught me what true bravery is, what true power is. Bravery is not about standing up there and just yelling and screaming and showing yourself as this macho individual, but it's understanding that you have a purpose. You have to take those steps despite not knowing what is out there, having total trust that God will lead you and taking those steps. Sometimes you slip, you trip, but understanding that you're doing it. With that risk weighed out, you have now answered the call. To me, that is important. Saint Andrew was the one who introduced people to Christ. To me, this is important. It's part of the evangelical mission of the church. It's my evangelical ministry. And not only saying follow Christ, but introducing people to what Christ is. Not just this person who's standing there and performing miracles, but somebody who gives fulfillment to our lives. In the here and after, yes, but most definitely in the life right here. An opportunity for us to find peace collectively and individually as people. So many different things, which I've shared with you through the years here on The Next Step. Andrew becomes the means by which these doors get opened. And I know you can find those people in your life as well. You can find those saints in your life. He was an example of bravery, of power. He is a saint because he has risen to the occasion as a human being. He has risen to that point where we can look at him and say, yes, this is a life worth emulating, a life that gives me the examples of how to bridge this life with not just eternity. That's just very simple to say, to bridge my life with this life, with the life that is given to us here in this world, to find that harmony and that peace. I know I'm going into some big areas over here, but I wanted to share this with you because it's sort of like a part two to last week's, where we were talking about more of like what our mission is within the church, to understand that, yes, the church gives us these opportunities vis-a-vis the saints to really look within. And it's not about just us within, but it's how we react with the rest of the world. Saint Andrew is remembered this coming Saturday with a feast day, that is commemorated along with Saint Philip, another disciple and apostle of Jesus Christ. And we look at their lives, we look at their legacy, what they've left us, the blessings that they give as saints, and we aspire to be like them, to follow Christ, and to be one with God. That being said, let's take a break right now. Here's Susie to make her announcement. I'll be back in a few moments to wrap it up and share with you some final thoughts as well as messages.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that message, and thank you for all of the wonderful comments and prayers that we've been receiving this past few weeks. I want to just share with you a few things. This last week, we had an opportunity to present the entire Sasnashen story at the Western Diocese, and we gave a piece of the crashed plane to the diocese to be preserved in their museum. We hope to have a video of that coming up, hopefully in the next few weeks. Make sure that you get connected to all of the different places that we have, especially our vast video library at YouTube. It is the user Armadoxy. So you could follow most of those videos. Not all of them. Most of them are viral on Facebook. They are archived on YouTube for just easier access. So please make use of them and share them any way that you want. They're there for you. Beyond that, let's see, the Sasnashen, and we have coming up December 8th, we have the annual Children's Memorial. Right after Thanksgiving, we're starting our annual toy drive, all of which can be participated locally as well as remotely. You are our virtual church. Wherever you are in the world, you're part of this congregation. So please, please, we'd love to hear from you, and you can always drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net. Epostle is apostle with an E, apostolic evangelism, like the type Andrew did, for an expanding and electronic world, like the type that we're doing. How about that? With that, let me call it a day. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Vazquez inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take care. Last cut out!